You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
With that, we are going to jump into our series that the subtitle is called Where Jesus Teaches and Feeds, because after all, food makes everything better. Can I get an amen? Amen. 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 My worst moments in my life, the times where I have been most sinful, are when I'm hangry, is when I'm so hungry and starving. Many of you know Pastor Jason. Unfortunately, he's taken the brunt of my hangriness because the Lord's done a lot of healing in me since then. Praise the Lord. But there was one Sunday in particular that I was, we were at church all day. I was starving. It was hot. And we needed to clean out our office because we were getting new carpet. And so we're just trying to like clear this closet as fast as possible so that we could all go to lunch. And, again, I'm grumpy. And we're like moving all these boxes from one end to the other. And so I walk into the closet that we're trying to empty. And Pastor Jason's just standing there, like staring at the boxes and like not moving. And so I took one look at him and I said, Jason, are you going to help or are you just going to keep standing there like an idiot? And I grabbed a box and left. That was not my brightest moment. I needed food. Food, again, makes everything better. When I was in high school, I was on the soccer team, and something that a lot of our teams do is we get together for pasta dinners the night before a game because, you know, you can carbo load, but it's not just about the food, it's about the bonding. And there was one season in particular that my team got really into the game spoons. Some of us know a little bit about that game. And so we like would race to like whoever's house we were going to. We'd like scarf this plate of pasta, and like within 10 minutes, we would like toss all the plates aside and get going on this game. We had like 20 people on the team, so the games took like 45 minutes. But it was like we could always count on it. It was so fun. We have so many memories of people like, you know, collapsing tables and knocking over drinks because we were just having so much fun together over a meal. That's one of the best ways that we can connect with each other is over a meal. You could probably think about your dinner tables now, your times at lunch. There is just something about sharing a meal that connects us. I think it kind of like makes us equal because we all need the same thing, you know, like we all need to eat. And it also gives us an opportunity to slow down and put away distractions and actually talk and listen to each other. We're sharing something and we're making memories during it. And Jesus seemed to agree with that. Jesus seemed to know that something special happened at a table when people were together sharing a meal. Jesus, fully God and fully man, sent by God the Father to save the world from sin, during his earthly life, during his ministry, the first miracle that he ever performed had to do with a meal. Jesus was at a wedding, and they had run out of wine, which we didn't have wine at our wedding, but it sounds like that would be a party pooper. And Jesus asked servants to run and get water, and he turned the water into wine. And the people were amazed at this. This is what they said about this miracle in John chapter 2, verse 11. Find me there in your Bibles. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see, one of the first ways that Jesus revealed his glory, revealed himself as God, was by connecting with people through food and drink. Jesus really seems to like hit the nail on its head, drawing this connection of how powerfully he can move through food when he resists the temptation of the devil in the desert. You see, after Jesus was baptized, right before he begins his ministry, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine how starving you would be. Some of us get hangry after just skipping breakfast. But Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil tempts him, and his first temptation is telling Jesus to turn stones into bread so that he could eat. But Jesus says this to the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I think this verse is like so significant to our series, because Jesus did not say man doesn't need bread. Jesus didn't say that we didn't need to eat, but he said there's something deeper going on in us, that God gave us our bodies. He could have made us free-floating spirits, but he gave us our bodies, and we have to eat in order to nourish it and keep it going and care for it. But he's saying we all have a deeper need that can only be sustained through every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so all summer long, in this series, we will be studying times where Jesus shares a meal with his disciples and teaches them something along the way. We're going to find all of these in the Gospels, the four historical biblical accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. And here's your first big idea that I think will guide our whole series this summer. Jesus nourishes us physically and spiritually. Again, man does not just live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus nourishes us both physically and spiritually. And Jesus invites us to his dinner table. And if we let him, God will use the dinner table to show us these three things. He will use the dinner table to remind us that God provides all our needs. God will use the dinner table to allow us to connect with each other. And Jesus will use the dinner table to show us ultimate satisfaction is only found in God's presence. We're going to dive into each of these ideas more. And to do that, one of the best examples of this in the Bible, I think, is the feeding of the 5,000. This story is found in all four Gospels, but tonight we're going to look at Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. So find me in Matthew 14. Where scripture says, verse 13, "When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food.' Jesus replied, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. 'Bring them here to me,' he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children." God works powerfully around a dinner table. And a dinner table reminds us that God provides all our needs. In this story, this large crowd had been with Jesus all day. He had been healing them. He had been teaching them. And the disciples knew that at this time, the crowd would start to get hungry. And they also knew that there were only 12 of them. And they didn't have enough food to feed the thousands. All they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. To them, it seemed impossible, but Jesus had a plan. And he multiplied that food. He broke it so that everyone could eat. And And fast forward to today, as we learn from this story, whenever there is food set before us, I really think it should humble us. In these days, these people couldn't just like hop in their car and like go to Raising Cane's drive-thru and have a full meal in 5 minutes, you know? They couldn't just go to the grocery store and pick up a loaf of bread and a pre-perfectly cut fish fillet and take it home and cook it and just like eat it. They had to grow the grain. They had to wait for the bread to rise. They had to catch the fish. They had to prepare it. They had to work for it. And I think when that meal that you've worked for sets before you, you have a greater appreciation for it. And when we all sit before that plate of food, I really think we can have two perspectives that reveal what's going on in our hearts. If we have a lot of pride in our hearts, I think something as simple as sitting before our dinner, we're going to be thinking, I earned this food. I deserve this food. I should treat myself. I've worked hard for it. But humility will say, I only have this food because God provided it, because God made a way for me to enjoy it. I love Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16 say, the eyes of all look to you, Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. I love that picture. I love that we sang, the Lord will provide. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father opens his hands and satisfies my desires. He provides for me. And why does God do that? Why does God provide for us? He's not just a genie. He's also not a vending machine. We read it. In Matthew 14, verse 14, Jesus had compassion on the crowds. That word compassion in the original Greek that this was written in is this Greek word that I cannot pronounce, so I'm not even going to try. But sorry, I should have worked harder for that. I should have practiced for that. But real me, I didn't practice. It comes from this Greek word that you can see is related to the word spleen. And this Greek word for compassion means to be moved by pity. And it's so moving that you can feel it. You feel compassion when one of your friends gets hurt by someone and you think that's wrong. And like your stomach is churning and you just like can't stand it and you have to go in and help. Like compassion moves you to action. And that is the word that like Jesus felt in his own body for every single one of us. He had compassion on us. And so here's the deal, HSM. You're going to hear it every single week, I hope and pray. Jesus loves you. Jesus has compassion on you. And if you've never heard that before, we're going to keep reminding you that every single week. But if you do know that, and you're wondering if who you are or what you have is enough for God, then it's my prayer that this story of the 5,000 is an encouragement to you. Jesus fed thousands of people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish because his servants were willing and faithful to trust him with it. And so maybe you've got gifts or talents or skills or passions that mean a lot to you, but you're just not sure if it's good enough for God, or you're not sure if God can use it for his good purposes. HSM, God wants to do that. And he can. But remember, it's not just our physical needs that God provides for. He provides for us spiritually. I love that God gave us our bodies, because when we are hungry for food, that is just a picture of how hungry we actually are spiritually for God himself. We ultimately don't only need food. We do need food, and food is good, but we don't only need it. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled and quenched by the living water of Jesus. I had a friend who I felt like understood this really well. He told our group of friends one time that for a whole year, he hadn't told us, but for a whole year, every time he was going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner, he would pray this prayer: Lord, make me hungrier for you than I am for this meal. Amen. I thought that was brilliant. Lord, make me hungrier for you than I am for this meal. Amen. Why? Because God provides for all our needs, physically and spiritually. But the dinner table also allows us to connect with each other. Remember, the disciples' original suggestion to Jesus in verse 15 is to send the people away. They're like, they need to go back to where they're from so that they can get food on their own. But Jesus replied there was no need for them to leave. They could eat all together. And because the crowd got to stay together, because the Lord had provided, they got to experience a miracle together. How amazing is that? Dinner time is an amazing opportunity to connect with others if you let God do that. When you're eating with others, when you're sharing that food together, one of the only other things you can do is talk. That's why at HSM, we have a snack bar. It's not just so that you guys can have Skittles and, you know, like enjoy all of those things. It's because it's easier to connect. It's a little less awkward when we're together sharing food. The reason we offer free Starbucks to new students isn't just because I really like coffee. It's because we can share something together, and it's that much easier to connect. I think God made it that way. The Bible calls this koinonia. Everyone say koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek original language that describes fellowship, participation, communion, that sharing of a meal together, but also life together. And so I've got two challenges for us, HSM. One is lasting the whole summer. Are you ready for it? Your first challenge, I didn't write it down, so sorry, is to share a meal with your life group. At some point this summer, get together with your life group. Maybe cook together, or if you're a little less adventurous, you guys could just go meet somewhere and share a meal together, not just to eat, but to connect. Here's your other challenge. It's just for the next week. It's just until we're back together in HSM. You ready? For the next week, make your dinners distraction-free. HSM, you know I love you. Take your AirPods out. There is like nothing more, there's like no bigger barrier to connecting with someone. If I'm trying to talk to Arlie and I've got this like huge, I've got this AirPod, she's like, she doesn't even care. She's listening to Taylor Swift like she always does. Take your AirPods out. Leave your phone in another room. Turn on your do not disturb notifications. For those of us with watches, there's also nothing like more discouraging than you're talking to someone and someone's like, sorry, what did you say? Like, that's so sad. Turn on your do not disturb notifications. And with all of that space that you open up, listen to the people around your dinner table. Ask questions and watch God transform your relationships. Don't tell your family what you're doing. I think this will be fun. Don't tell your family about this experiment. Just do it and ask them if they've noticed any differences next Wednesday. I did not share this challenge with Blake. I felt like God put this on our hearts, God put this on my heart for all of HSM, but we're going to take this challenge with you. We love watching TV during dinner. He's so sad. Right now, we restarted Parks and Rec. And for the next week, no TV during dinner. Connecting only. Amen. All right, and last one. The dinner table shows us ultimate satisfaction in God's presence. Did you catch that in Matthew 14, verse 20, it says that everyone ate and was satisfied, and there were leftovers. You guys know, like, when you have that really good meal, some of you are big Thanksgiving people. Maybe it's, like, one of those. I'm kind of a Chili's girl. You just eat, like, the three for me. Just go to town. And you're, like, so full. And sometimes you, like, have to, like, unbutton, like, a little bit. Just, like, make some extra room. I've been there. Like, you're fully satisfied. Like, you have eaten your fill, and imagine that with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, the thousands of people who were with Jesus that day, they were that full. They were that satisfied, and there was stuff left over. That kind of abundance almost seems too good to be true, but that's exactly what God does for his children. In Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, "You anoint my head with oil." It's like showing approval, like commissioning someone. "And my cup overflows. I can't even contain what God is giving me." Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Not some, not a little, every spiritual blessing. And in John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Again, what we ultimately need is not just food. Our hunger shows us how much we actually need God. And when you feast on God's presence, meaning when he's your savior, when he's your best friend, and when he's your ultimate hope, he gives us abundant life. He saves us from our sin, and he satisfies us fully. And that fellowship that we can experience with God is only possible because of Jesus. One of the most powerful symbols in our faith in the Christian church is communion. Comes from that same word, koinonia. It's the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. Because on the last night of the life of Jesus, before he was crucified, he shared a meal with his disciples. And Jesus would rise 3 days later, being the perfect payment for the consequences of our sin, and conquering sin and death forever, saving all of the world. But before that victory, he just ate and shared with his disciples. And he told them that the meal represented something far greater than bread and wine, but it represented his body that was broken and his blood that was poured out in order to save the world. This is why meals are so important. Whether it's feeding 5,000 people or for Jesus' followers, 2,000 years later, taking a small bite of bread and a sip of grape juice to represent communion, it all reminds us that God provides for all of our needs, that God allows us to connect with each other, and that ultimate satisfaction, what we're all searching for, is only found in God's presence. We're going to be studying this all summer long, and it's my prayer that as we break bread together, and as we open up God's word, that HSM, you would be nourished, fueled, and fed by God himself. And in that light, I'm going to pray, and we are going to head to life groups. But I don't want you to miss that your life group right now is like a picture of that dinner table. Now is the time to take out those AirPods, put your phones on, turn them off, and ask questions, be present, be respectful, listen to one another, and dive deeply into God's word, because this is one of the ways that God really wants you to connect with others, because he's provided it. And then, after our fellowship in life groups, the fellowship will continue outside, because Blake and I loved our wedding. We're so grateful. but we really missed all of you. So we're going to celebrate with a little, like, mini wedding celebration with dessert outside. So, dessert with the Bertrands.